Lovely crowd. Thank you for coming. And it's good to have every single one of you here. It's a lovely thing to be having this opportunity to share God's word. Someone has sort of suggested that it might be the last time I preach, and it may well be. Well, who knows? He knows. I don't know. And so it's in his hands. And I am content with. God has been so good to me over the years. I mean, I look back over my life and I just feel that I've had and received so much from the Lord in so many different ways. And I just trust that my life has been a praise to him and a glory to him in some way. It's not ideal, my life, I know that, but God understands, and he is able, well able, to make the difference and to use us in whatever way he chooses. That applies to you as well as me. As long as we know him as our Savior, then who knows what he's got in mind for us. And he might surprise us all, and I mean surprise us all in this life as well as in the life to come. So I want to read. I'm just going to read one or two sections, and I shall read them I'm reading from Acts chapter 9. And verses, to start with, verses 1 and 2. So, we've got them up there, have we? Oh, yes, lovely. That's good. So you've got them as well as me. Right. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. So he found there any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As I read this, as is true, I suppose, of all the scriptures in many, many ways, there are lessons for us to be learned. The lesson I've got to learn tonight is different to the lesson that you might have to learn tonight. Who knows? But what matters is that it's in his hands and not yours or mine. And because of that, as long as we are willing to let go, willing to allow the Lord to have his way and do what he's got in mind, then we will achieve all that he has for us. And he will achieve through us all that he wants to do. That's an amazing thought, considering that we're thinking in terms of my relationship, your relationship with God Almighty, who is beyond our comprehension. But he's got work to do through you and through me. He just wants us to be in the position where he can use us as he will. And that's the important thing, as he will. And as long as he has that surrendered heart of yours and mine in his hands, then he will do what he chooses. And we will find the very best shape to our lives that it's possible to have. We may not be aware of it all the time, but when we get to glory, that's the way it'll be. And he's going to help us and to bless us to that end. And so I do believe that we've got lessons to learn, all of us, whoever we might be. And as long as we're open to that idea, then God is able to work absolutely. Now, the truth is, of course, that every Christian experience begins with conversion. When we come to Christ, this idea of conversion or being converted means to be put to a completely different use, to be completely changed, to be someone that you weren't before, someone that I wasn't before. As I shared my testimony, I've been a Christian a long time, a long, long time. More years than I care to remember, to be truthful. But the thing is, the wonderful thing is this, that when we belong to him, we are not our own. We belong to him. And whatever he has in mind is what matters. And for you, it's different to what he has in mind for me. For every one of us individually here tonight, there are different things that God has in plan for us. But if we as individuals are yielded to him, then he will unfold it. We shall do it by his power, not our own. We'll do it by his working, not our own. And that's the lovely thing about it. And the truth is, as I said, Every Christian experience begins with conversion, starting all over again, new birth. And I trust that every one of us here tonight has had that experience, the experience of coming to know Christ for ourselves. As we put our lives and our hands into His, then we become, in inverted commas, converted, changed, completely turned around from what we were. And if you heard my testimony, you know I got converted when I was just 6 years of age, which I look back now and I think, Lord, you were so merciful to me. And if you heard my testimony, you know the background to that. But my Sunday school teacher was very, very faithful. And that was the lovely thing about it. And so here I am all these years later. And it's just been a wonderful experience. I have to say it really has been a glorious experience. And so we start again, all over again, with new birth. Now Saul, as we've just been reading about, Saul began with real enmity, verses 1 and 2. He says there, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus. So if any he found there who belonged to the way, that is Christ's way, whether men and women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. He was aggressive. And we will at some times in our lives come across people who in their encounter with us and in their relationship with us, even though it's a passing relationship and maybe only a one-time meeting, that they might be aggressive. We have to be prepared for that in some way. And it's a matter of personal prayer. It's a lovely thing that I think I've said already, to begin the day and say, Lord, take the day. Get me ready for whatever you've got for me in this day, and I'll seek to serve you as you will. God wants us to be partners with Him, partners in a very real and a very wonderful way. And so here we read that Saul began with enmity, and the truth is, of course, that no one is beyond God's love. No one. Whoever you are, and whoever your friends are out there in the world who don't know Christ, they are all within the scope of God's love. That's an incredible thought if you think about it. And it should stimulate us as we seek to live with our neighbors and friends who are not Christians out there in the world. It should stimulate us to be able to believe that these things are not in our hands, but they're first and foremost in His. Yes, we need to be obedient. Yes, we need to be what God wants us to be. But in the end, it's in His hands, not ours. That's an incredible burden lifted. It really is. But God isn't going to hold us responsible for folk who didn't come to know Him. He will want us to be obedient, yes. But in the end, it's the work of the Spirit. It's His work, not ours. And that's what God wants us to appreciate, I think. And you see, no one is beyond God's love. And so there is hope for all our non-Christian friends, as it was with Saul. And then in verses 3 to 6, we read these words. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. I can't imagine a worse thing than for God to speak to me or speak to you and say, why are you persecuting me? But here, this was a situation in which Saul found himself at this time. And he wanted very much to know that the God he was dealing with was able to deal with it. That was really what mattered. And I suppose, as Christians, I've already mentioned it in the sense that whatever we do as unto the Lord, we do as unto the Lord. If we don't have that in mind, If our day didn't begin with giving him the day, you don't have to be on your mind all the time, but he wants us to be the sort of people who rest in him and who rejoice in him and who are available to him so that he can have his way, whatever that might mean. And the truth is, of course, as Christians, whatever we do to others, we do to the Lord. So if you ignore them, you're ignoring him, because his word calls us to connect with those around us. And if we hate them, then we are hating him. And again, bitterness that can come to the soul in this life is a very real thing sometimes. And we might find ourselves in that awful situation where we hate somebody who lives next to us or whatever, for whatever reason. We may feel we've got good reason for that. But if we do it to them, we're doing it to him. And he wants us to recognize that simple fact and recognize that we can, in all our lives, as Christians, whatever we do to others, we do indeed do to the Lord. I suppose our day-to-day behavior is directly connected with Christ and how to live him for him or even against him. So our day-to-day behavior matters to the Lord. We can't, I want to say this carefully, we can't please ourselves. There's a sense in which the calling, if you know Christ, the calling of God is upon you and upon me. And I need to begin the day with him, give him the day, and who knows what he will do. Most days will just unfold as normal, but there might be the odd occasion when he steps in and does something, opens our eyes to see something that is wonderful indeed. And we at the end of the day, we're just rejoicing, absolutely. And we need to be open to those interventions of God in whatever way he chooses. And so our day-to-day behavior is directly connected to him. And it needs to be for him. And then thirdly, in verses 4 to 9, and I just want to read them to you again. 4 to 9. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." That's an interesting concept, isn't it? It's me that you are persecuting. And he wasn't aware of it. Or at least it doesn't seem as if he was aware of it. And what he wants for each of us is to begin the day and recognize that if we fail him, it's the Lord who gets persecuted first. It's the Lord who feels it first. God wants us to be his people. He wants us to be one with him in every sense of the word. And if we fail in that, then he feels it. And so to begin the day and to seek to work out the day just in his will and with his purpose in mind is what God wants and what he's looking for. And so we have this wonderful picture of God speaking to Saul in this way. And then we come to the third point that I want to make. And these are verses 4 to 9. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Sorry, I'm starting reading. I've got my little lines at the side and I hadn't noticed the bottom break. Sorry. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. I suppose the idea of becoming blind in this way is something that we find it difficult to understand. But this was a reality in Saul's experience. He was going to become Paul. He was going to be an absolute key figure in the church which lay ahead. And the beauty of it is, God was getting him ready now. And whatever you have in, whatever God has in mind for you, or whatever God has in mind for me, he's in the business of getting us ready. As I look across the crowd here, most of you, almost all of you, are younger than me. At least you look it. And who knows what God has in store for you? I'm getting towards the end of my life, I suppose. And as a consequence, there's less and less time. But God knows what he's doing. He knows in detail the wonder of all of this. And we can praise him for that. And then I just, sorry. I suppose we are, as being watched every day by non-Christians, we are being judged as well by non-Christians. But God wants us to remember that fact that we're being watched and to work accordingly, to walk with him. Are you ready for it? Every moment of every day. Now that's a tall order. Of course it is. But he's able to keep us. This is the beauty of it. If it's only up to my mental capacity, then I'll fail. But it's not up to my mental capacity, it's up to his ability, his power, his working in me to do what he wants to do to make that day the shape he wants it to be. And that's an incredible thought. And that's why I say, and I repeat it again, give him the day at the beginning and let's see what God will do with it. And then we're going to read just the call of Ananias. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the place, to the house, and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. That is an incredible transformation, isn't it? But the truth is, it's no bigger than the transformation in your life or mine. God has different purposes for every one of us. And as long as he has our hearts surrendered to him, and as long as we give him the day, our lives day by day, then he will get as much pleasure out of what he does with you and what he does with me as he did here with Ananias and others like him. God wants us to be in the place where he can use us just as he will. And so Ananias was called, and we just read the verses 10 to 20. And God said to him, get involved. And this led Ananias to argue with God. Verses 13 and 14 says this. Lord, I have heard many reports about this man, that is Saul, and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call upon your name." So Ananias was talking to God about the calling he'd been given. Now, there's nothing wrong with that in itself. If Ananias was saying no, that would be a different matter altogether. But he wasn't saying no. He simply wanted some understanding bigger than he got. And so he wanted to talk in this way. And the Lord spoke to Ananias and told him that this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer in my name. And of course, Saul was to become Paul. And if you look through through the epistles in the New Testament, they're all by Paul. Most of them were by Paul. And he has left a legacy for the church which has come down all those years, and which we still reverence today, which we still rejoice in today, which God is still able to use in your life, in mine, and in the life of our church, to inspire us, to open our eyes, and to lead us on day by day. God is well able to do in your life and in mine what it is he wants to do. What he needs from you is that willingness, that readiness, the giving him of the day, to see how it works out, and to see what it looks like. And of course, the Lord does prompt us to witness, and his prompting is vital. And I mean vital. There can be nothing worse, I don't think, than being a Bible basher. I hope there's none here. I really hope there's none here. But you know what I mean by being a Bible basher. Somebody who is always, without clear guidance, seeing it as a principle that I must share the gospel. And so it happens with every person they meet, or nearly every person they meet. God isn't looking for that kind of person. He's looking for one who will walk with him in the Spirit, so that the Lord can organize your witnessing. He can organize my witnessing. And he can make it powerful because he is organizing it. And there may be times when you feel, I could witness here, and God says no. Because he knows the person you're thinking of. And he knows that they wouldn't take it well. Or he knows that they'd be put off by it. And may never turn again. So it's in his hands. This is the beauty of it. It has to be all in his hands, just as he wants to do it. He wants to prompt us, and his prompting is vital. And I've already said there's nothing worse than a Bible basher who does it to everybody. God wants you and me to be led by the Spirit. He wants to be wants us to be people who can be his instruments at whatever moment he chooses. That might be a moment that's completely unexpected by you. On the other hand, it might be something that you've seen and you've been praying about and you're hoping for, and the day comes when it's right. So the Lord is in charge. And that's the thought I want us to leave with us tonight. The Lord is in charge. And whatever and however he chooses to lead you or me, it's going to be right. As long as it is the Lord and not just our imagination, and therefore we need to test it sometimes, we need to ask him to tell us again in a different way or through a different person so that we get confirmation. But whatever happens in your life and mine, if we walk with him, he will give us all that we need. And we shall rejoice in being his instruments, his blessing, and to others, the means of his grace. Yes, I'm describing you, if you know the Lord tonight, and I'm describing me. That sounded amazing, even as I said it. It's not written down in my notes, but as I said it, It sounded amazing, but it's true. It's true. We give him the day. We live with him one day at a time. And we allow him to have his way in whatever way he chooses. And the Lord honors him. And honors us as well, as well as himself. Because we are the people of his choice. You, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you, yes, you, all over, are chosen. And it can't, if God is the one who made the choice, it cannot, listen, it cannot be better than that. That's the big one. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word to us. We want to thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have chosen us. That, Lord, we've come to know you. That you want us to be your partners. You want us to be your instruments. And so we pray earnestly, Lord, that you will help us each one to begin the day with you. And in doing that, to allow you to have your way for the next 24 hours. Lord, we don't know what we're opening the door to, but you do. And so, Father, we pray that you will help us to understand your grace, that, Lord, if we are inexperienced, then you will ensure that we gain experience. You will deal with us according to our statement and our state at that time. And so, Lord, answer our prayers and accept of all our praise. We want it in detail for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rob. Bless you.
Before you get down, we did want to we did want to mark this occasion because, as Rob said, you've been an encouragement to us tonight to start every day with you, to walk with you, to walk with him, and to, it wouldn't be you preaching if you didn't encourage us to spread the word of God to those that we need to preach the gospel, because you've constantly done that, and it's been an encouragement to me and a prompting to me on many times. But we bless you that whether it was at Elim before you came to us, whether it was with the Kerygma singers, whether it's been in your time with us, you have left a legacy, just like you said Paul has. You have left a legacy. You've touched many lives, and I'm sure there's many people that have been changed eternally because of your ministry. And it doesn't get better than that, does it? And so we bless you, brother, for all that you've done. And I read a book a couple of years ago just to remind you that there is no retirement in the kingdom. We may have a retirement in...
I'm glad about that.
Amen. And so are we. Because, I don't know, on my heart, there is something about you being a prayer warrior. I believe that your prayers are still absolutely on the button, and God is still speaking through you, as he has done tonight. To us through your prayer. So I would encourage you just as Paul was thinking about one thing and you've been preaching, be open to what God might be showing you in the future.
Thank
because
you.
I'm sure he has something for you. But we have something. it's a small token, but it says it's a certificate of appreciation presented to Waterlands in recognition of your faithful service and contribution to the fellowship at Little Owen Methodist Church. With a verse that says, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those who proclaimed it." And you are somebody who has faithfully proclaimed the word. So accept that with our love, brother and our thanks.
That is wonderful. I didn't expect anything like this, so praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. It says, "I've been appreciated, therefore I appreciate it." You know what I mean. Okay. Bless you. Thank you. Okay, Rob.